CIUT 89.5 FM, the sound of your city. Stream us anytime at www.ciut.fm.
Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. we have labor issues to talk about, you know, about the flight attendants turning down the last offer of the Canadian, of the airlines, but the government's involved, which makes it all kind of murky as to whose offer it is. So we have to talk about that. There's also been a dramatic development. As always with Trump, everything's dramatic. There's been a raid on an auto plant, Hyundai, in Georgia, I believe. And there's also been some developments with the reaction of the American labor to Trump. By the way, everybody's going to have to put their operation on a different footing because clearly the Trump administration has discovered that everybody else is sort of sleepwalking and not ready to resist. And so they're trying to, I guess you could call it a blitzkrieg, that they move quickly, they make startling declarations, and they basically leave people in what they used. Somebody from the Reagan administration called shock and awe. That's part of what when we talk about Donald Trump and what is going on, there is always an echo of previous conservative, if that's a kind of generous term to describe these guys. Ronald Reagan was definitely someone who broke through for right-wing ideology. And that term, shock and awe, the way they approached dealing with other states was transformed definitely by the language and conduct of the of Trump's idol and predecessor. If you see the press conferences and little photo ops and whatnot at the White House, it's kind of like a theater. They bring in these huge portraits of Reagan and put them behind Trump, or they'll bring Andrew Jackson and put them. I'm waiting for Robert E. Lee. I'm sure pretty soon they're going to do this. You know, I grew up where we used to say to each other in the playground, I didn't say it, but it was said to me, save your Confederate money, boys. The South is going to rise again. And Donald Trump sort of bringing all this to pass. And this is not a rumor. All you have to do is, they say, just watch him. So, again, this is the Taylor Report. Those are the matters we're going to talk to. We will have what I would call our favorite labor commentator, Tony Leo, who has written a marvelous book on the history of the General Motors strike in Oshawa in 1937, which was the foundation of organizing auto workers in Canada and part of the great CIO drive for it to organize industrial workers, which is a dramatic shift in labor strategy and consciousness. We really benefit from focusing on that matter, thinking about it, and what its implications are now. The prime issue today, it seems to me, that we want to ask about is what is Canada's What's the plan? Because we only a few days ago we were hearing once again about the Western farmers, the canola growers, being faced with disastrous from their vantage point, the economy based on the canola. And the premier was going to be visiting, make a trip to China, because China is the main market. It's a great trading partner, and it's been a good relationship. But because of the manufacturer of Cold War wind, White House, Canada's got itself into a jackpot, because a decision was made to exclude Chinese electrical vehicles from the market in North America. Cold-blooded, egocentric, U.S.-centric policy. Trump even said that if they make them in Mexico, they won't be allowed to cross the border, that kind of thing. They are a superior vehicle, and it's relatively inexpensive compared to vehicles here. So Canadian consumers will not be allowed to have that. A decision was made, it'd be 100% tariff. The decision was made by Joe Biden, who sort of foreshadowed the policy of Trump on when it came to China. So 100%, the U.S. said, and Canada, in order to pretend it's an independent country, said, well, we're thinking about it. Then they stopped thinking and said, yep, 100%. Well, that's what led to the canola problem, where China said, well, then, you know, if you treat us that way, we're going to have another look at our purchase of that. Now, the federal government, a minister, I believe it was, has gone with a representatives of the canola interests to China to see if they can work something out. And all this has done is point up how we don't have an independent policy, and apparently we don't dare have one, because at the very same time, I don't know if they passed each other on their way there, but the Australian and Canadian Navy at this moment sent military, let me put it simple, warships through the Straits of Taiwan. And China said, pointed out, that is a provocative act. Those are military vessels, and they are in Chinese waters. There's no, and the Globe and Mail says, well, China calls it a provocation. Well, it is a provocation. And the question is, why are you doing it? If you had a strategy to help out the canola farmers, that might have been a good time to say, you know, we'd like to do business with China. We'd like them to buy the canola. They've been a steady customer, and it's been good for benefit for Canada and China. So we won't send a warship into the Taiwan Straits. They would take that as a friendly gesture, and they would give some thought to perhaps if Canada was going to be less provocative and show a little bit of independence, then maybe we could do business. But what we did was, Canada and Australia are showing that they are still subunits of the Anglo-colonial system, now the neo-colonial system, and The slogan should be, dear President Trump, our president, we stand on guard for thee, because putting that military operation in the Taiwan Straits is to primarily benefit the new aggressive, more aggressive policy towards China, which is directed from Washington, with, of course, this number two tier of the Western Imperial Network. Canada seems to be coming in third, as is Australia. But you see, Canada and Australia always end up on guard duty. They always end up being what is called the tripwire business. I noticed even in the media here, mainstream media, they use the term tripwire. That there are, last week we talked on the show, Carney stood in front of approximately 300 Canadian military people and made a belligerent speech about how we're going to, stand up to Russia. Turns out the full component is roughly 2,000 soldiers, which can only, if you're actually anticipating a conflict, that's called a tripwire. That is, that doesn't amount to very much. And there they were in Latvia talking in a way which was more Trump than Trump. Carney said that you can't talk to Putin. He said Putin is someone that, if you use the old term, again, we're back to Ronald Reagan, trust but verify, because they were entering, as bad as he was, Reagan was entering into mutual agreements with what was then the Soviet Union, and they were talking about limitation on arms and limitation on missiles, and they were into the nitty-gritty of guaranteeing mutual security. So Carney breaks with that. Carney says you can't do that. It's not because you can't trust Putin. Meanwhile, so who it is who we trust? Well, we can trust Trump. Trump is the one who said, we should be the 51st state. And I know, and he has not stopped talking about that. He talks about take Greenland. And he's talking at the moment about invading Venezuela. He's already been attacking in Venezuelan waters. So this is the one that we trust. So that's why we end up on guard duty, why we're out there in Latvia waiting to signal that the bad thing has happened and we've lost everybody. Same with the Taiwan Straits. What is that? The Taiwan Strait is Chinese territory. And how do we know? Well, because Canada voted for it and everybody else did, that Taiwan is part of China. And we now are playing a different dishonest game of pretending that the entity on Taiwan, the pretenders, might be something else, although we're not legally or in terms of treaties or international agreements, none of that violates the commitment that Canada made long ago, that Taiwan is part of China. So why would we send warships into their waters, except to play a role on behalf of Trump? And so, and again, Australia is probably the worst for this, because they frankly just have an Anglo-bigoted view that the peace and security, which is what they say they're there for peace and security, so they send a warship into somebody else's waters, which were China to decide to act in its own national security, they could stop them if they want, and they would be in the right. So this is just a lousy, cowardly on the part of the U.S., way of causing disruption, ruining trade, ruining agreements. So, yeah, putting it in short form, if we wanted to sell the canola, we'd like to make a deal, we should have said, as a gesture, we're not going to participate any longer in this little exercise of sending our ships into your waters. How about that? And I think we would get a nice response in return. But that isn't, of course, on the table. Instead, what we're doing is we're standing on guard for Trump. And lastly, before we move on to speaking to Tony Leo, just mention that we have the situation where in the past few days, the Trump administration has decided to change the name of the Department of Defense to the Department of War, a stupid enough matter in and of itself in terms of labels, but he had to add to this in his Trump show, which he has going all the time, by posting an image of the actor Robert Duvall in the movie Apocalypse Now, sitting in the jungle wearing his 7th Cavalry. Got to make sure I get that right. Don't mix up the Bible with the horses. The 7th Cavalry. So Robert Duvall, everybody knows from the movie, he says, I love the smell of napalm in the morning, because he has just destroyed a Vietnamese village and he's about to go surfing and he's enjoying himself. And it is a very memorable, wicked thing, which everybody smiled at, or it's become a kind of a peculiar little moment in our culture that people actually know that scene. A lot of people never saw the film. They know that scene. So Trump posted that, but his face in the place of Duvall, Robert Duvall, and he says over this, I love the smell of deportations in the morning. And instead of Apocalypse Now, it's Chicopolis Now, meaning Chicago, because he's going to send American soldiers into the great industrial city of Chicago in order to provide police. He said, coming back to this point about the Chicago is about to find out why it's called the War Department, or Department of War. Yeah, pardon me, Department of War with a capital War. He's talking about attacking American citizens. He's talking about intimidation of American citizens using American soldiers, and Canada is signed up for this. While he's doing that in Chicago, we're out there sailing in the Straits of Taiwan on his behalf as in simple guard duty, so that he can molest the whole blasted hemisphere, talk about killing the Venezuelans. He's already done it. And every other kind of weird provocation. So Canada ought to just simply ask, and I would put it first to the NDP and the Liberals, others, why don't we change our policy on China? They're a member of the United Nations. They're on the Security Council. They operate under the all the founding principles. That's you're a membership in Canada as a member that having helped create it. We're not in the Security Council, and the way we behave will never be much of anything in the UN. But we had to turn our little ship back toward the UN and away from our president, because this is a disastrous course. And why aren't Canada's ruling parties, Liberals and Conservatives, with a follow-up of the NDP, and there's always the Bloc, but why isn't a simple statement made? We're going to go with the principles of the United Nations. We're going to function there on an international level, and we're not going to stand on guard duty for the U.S. and the Taiwan Straits, because that's a violation of the U.N. treaties, and it's a violation of our own recognition of China as Taiwan as a part of China. So all we have to do is kind of follow the ABCs. It's not that difficult.